the Knicks have become a model of smart strategy, competence, dependability, and decision-making. And this coming week, the Knicks, two first-round draft picks, a second-round draft pick. We're heading into NBA free agency. And what decisions are the Knicks going to make? Are they going to try and roll it back with the team they have? Are they going to try and bring in a big free agent or swing for a big trade? To talk about the upcoming week and all the activity, we bring in Stephan Bondy from the New York Post. Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good, Lori. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's start off with kind of big picture for the Knicks with the draft coming up this week in just a few days and then free agency. What do you anticipate will be the Knicks' big picture strategy? Is it roll it back with the team that we saw after the trade deadline last year with that roster, or is it that you know, we've heard, you know, for years now, the Knicks have talked about stockpiling draft picks and potentially, you know, swinging a big trade for a big name, you know, signing a free agent, all that sort of stuff. What do you anticipate is going to happen?
Well, I think their big picture strategy isn't going to really change from what it's been, and it's kind of what you mentioned. It's we're stockpiling these picks. We are going to run it back. You know, we're going to try to re-sign OG Anunoby, re-sign Isaiah Hartenstein. But if that one player that we love becomes available in the trade market, we're going to go after him. I think that has been their strategy for years now, and that will continue to be the strategy. The problem is that player has not become available. I mean, they made a real hard push for Donovan Mitchell. They were unable to get him. And so, you know, they're waiting for that star player to come loose. And in the meantime, it's hard to argue with the results that they've been producing the last couple of years.
Yeah, sometimes some of the moves you do not make end up being, you know, in this case, some of the better moves. And I think that, you know, we know the Knicks have been in pursuit of that big superstar for years now. And with the signing of Jalen Brunson and him developing into an all-NBA player, how does that change their pursuit? You know, even from last year to this year, when you look at the Donovan Mitchell, the package they were potentially going to put forward, and ultimately the Jazz go in a different direction with the Cavaliers. But having Jalen Brunson turn into a superstar, how does that change how they deal now in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more now about who fits alongside Jalen Brunson, or maybe even under Jalen Brunson, as opposed to who's going to rise above him and be that star that, you know, you don't want another guard. Like Donovan Mitchell would not have been the best fit. Darius Garland is not the best fit. He might get it on the trade market. Trae Young, who is probably going to hit the trade market, is not a good fit next to Jalen Brunson. So now you start to factor in, because of Jalen Brunson's prominence, because of his rise, as you mentioned, you start to factor in who would be a good fit with him as opposed to the player who's going to be above him in that, you know, totem pole. So, yeah, I mean, the Knicks now have a bona fide star on their roster. They realize that they have a guy who can carry them to a certain point. And you know, they're going to act accordingly.
When you talk about the kind of player that the Knicks would want to then swing that big trade, who would become potentially available as another superstar here, some of the names that we hear thrown around, that whether they're actually available or it's just that Knicks fans would hope they might be. And you hear names like Kevin Durant or Devin Booker. You hear Karl Anthony Towns. When you think about the Knicks and who would be a good fit for them, and also who might be, you know, even just potentially available, who do you think would be a good fit, and then who do you think might actually be available?
Well, I mean, listen, the dream is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, he's a fit with anybody. He's one of the top three NBA players, you know, playing right now. So, you know, the Milwaukee stuff is a mess. I don't really know where that's going to go. I mean, he has a bunch. He just signed an extension, but they were a disaster last season. And they made a big mistake by trading Drew Holiday, swapping him out for Dame Lillard. And Dame Lillard's a great player, but that's not the kind of player they needed at that age. You know, we'll see where it goes with Milwaukee. But I think that's the dream, is Giannis Antetokounmpo. As far as the other guys you mentioned, I don't see at this stage right now Phoenix deciding, hey, we were bad last season. We want to break it up. They got a new owner in there from last year. I think he wants to run it back. He's trying to win. Karl Anthony Towns, they just made the conference finals. Mm-hmm. They have a new ownership in there, very complicated ownership. I don't know what's going to go on with them. But, you know, as far as fit, you know, I could see, you know, everybody you mentioned would be a good fit next to Jalen Brunson for sure. I mean, you're mentioning some of the top players in the league. I'd be a little bit wary about Karl Anthony Towns, because essentially what you're doing is you're swapping out Julius Randle for Karl Anthony Towns in order to make that trade happen. And, you know, I wouldn't give up on Julius Randle quite yet.
Okay, so then the most likely scenario, you know, if we're talking about then free agents or other options, I guess there's also Paul George out there. We've heard, you know, is there potential interest with the Sixers or whatever? But what about the Knicks potentially and Paul George from what you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is the sentiment around the league is that Paul George will eventually go back to the Clippers just because they're going to find a way to make it happen. They're opening this new arena.
Yep.
They don't want to go in there with a situation where they're rebuilding. But let's say Paul George, so he has a player option. I forget how much money exactly it is, but it's a lot of money.
40-something, close to $50 million, something like that, 40-something.
Yeah, a lot of money. So let's say he picks up that player option, then he can be traded in a similar way that James Harden was last year when he picked up his player option with the Sixers. So in that world, I can see the Knicks getting involved in Paul George. They don't have the cap space to sign him outright if he becomes a free agent, so it'll need to be a trade. And that's the scenario where I can see Paul George coming over. He's a CAA client. You know, they're obviously, the Knicks have strong ties to CAA. And, you know, he's a great fit. Everybody needs the type of wing defender that Paul George is, and he's obviously a tremendous offensive player as well. So, yeah, I mean, he's older. You're eventually going to have to pay him a lot of money, but, you know, he's a good fit, obviously.
So speaking of paying a lot of money, if the most likely scenario ends up being more of the roll it back and some of these big game hunting, big names don't necessarily become available via trade or free agency, then you said most likely scenario that the Knicks re-sign OG Anunoby and Isaiah Hartenstein. In terms of Anunoby, look, we all know that his agent is the son of Knicks team president Leon Rose, which is an interesting situation there. But how much do you think that, given the talent, but also then the injury history, how much do you think OG Anunoby is worth in terms of a fair contract? And from the Knicks' perspective, I mean, any way they let him walk, or will they just match, whether the Sixers or somebody else, you know, offer some massive contract, will they match anything?
I would be absolutely shocked if they let him walk. They, remember what they gave up to get him. They gave up RJ Barrett. They gave up Emmanuel Quickley. If you let him walk for nothing, you've basically given up those players for nothing. You gave him up for a six-month rental where he missed half the games anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine a situation where they let him walk. I don't know what, once he hits the open market, I don't know what kind of contract he's going to command. A lot depends on who else is out there. You mentioned the Sixers. The Sixers want Paul George, but if Paul George goes back to the Clippers and then OG Anunoby is the best unrestricted free agent out there, they might throw a whole boatload of money at him. And then the Knicks are going to have to counter and go above. Now, you mentioned the CAA dynamic where Sam Rose, Leon's son, is one of OG's agents. That will probably help facilitate a deal. But I think they're going to end up having to overpay for OG simply because he has all the leverage in this situation. They need to re-sign him. I'm sure he knows that. About a decade ago, I had covered a similar situation when I was covering the New Jersey Nets. They had traded for Gerald Wallace, who's like a similar type of player to OG Anunoby in that, you know, he's a wing defender. And quite a good wing defender. But, you know, he had the injury history. He was a little bit older. And the Nets just absolutely had to re-sign him because they gave up a lot in the season prior to acquire him. And that contract ended up being a disaster. So that, you know, that's the cautionary tale when you're in a situation like this. OG Anunoby is oddly we saw what a great fit he was when he played. Certainly in January, the Knicks were tremendous. They had a great record with OG when he was in the lineup. You hope that this contract will work out, but I think ultimately they're going to have to overpay.
And then that brings us to Isaiah Hartenstein, where is it possible that Hartenstein could get more money from another team than the Knicks? And, you know, based on salary cap restrictions, do you still think then that he will be back with the Knicks?
So, you know, after talking to a lot of people around the league about this, I think the overall sentiment is he's going to be back with the Knicks. However, they are restricted in how much they can pay him. It can only be 4 years and $72.5 million. I've reported on OKC's interest. There are rumors about Orlando, which a team that has a lot of cap space. If a team comes in there, and there's also the Pistons who have a lot of cap space, the team comes in there and offers him, you know, a godfather offer,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we're talking about a situation where the Knicks can't even match, and then they're going to lose Isaiah Hartenstein. So that's a very precarious situation for them. You know, he became such an important part of what they did last season, and Mitchell Robinson has quite an injury history. Now, he's great when he's healthy. He's one of the best offensive rebounders in the NBA. But you can't really rely on him to be healthy. And Isaiah Hartenstein was such an important part of what they did that they can't just let him go for nothing. That would really hamper what they're trying to do moving forward. So this is certainly a situation to monitor.
Talking to Stephen Bundy from The Post about the Knicks. So NBA draft coming up in a couple of days, this upcoming week, Wednesday, Thursday. And Knicks have two first-round picks and a second-round pick. What do you anticipate that they do with those picks? Do you expect them to make all three of them? Do you expect them to trade picks? Where do you expect the Knicks to go?
So I'm not going to predict who they're going to pick because when it's that far out in the draft, it's really too difficult. But I don't think they're going to use all three of their picks. I think that having three rookies in the rotation is not something that Tom Thibodeau wants and not something that he will use. I get it. You can stash some guys. You can put them in the G League, sign them to two-way contracts, whatever. But I just don't see a situation where bringing three rookies onto this team where they are now is really where they want to go. I think there's a consolidation, and I think they pick two or one player in the upcoming draft and then probably acquire somebody else via trade.
All right. Any in terms of acquiring via trade, any rumors, anything you're hearing?
Well, there's a lot of chatter about Mitchell Robinson. Here's the problem with Mitchell Robinson. They don't know yet about Isaiah. So, you know, I doubt a deal gets done on draft night because they have to wait until free agency to figure out what happens with Isaiah Hartenstein before they figure out what they're going to do with Mitchell. Because if you're not bringing back Isaiah Hartenstein, you have to bring back Mitchell Robinson. No, other than that, I mean, listen, that star player that we've been talking about for so many years, I don't think that player is going to be acquired on draft night. I just don't think that there's somebody out there that is available and that really fits the Knicks right now. So, you know, if a player is acquired, it's going to be somebody to help them a depth piece. And we saw, you know, the Knicks could really use some of that stuff because of, you know, the injuries that we saw towards the end of the playoffs. I think depth was a big issue. They're counting on their health to be different next season, but you can't have enough depth.
What are you hearing from the team or people around the team about the... It seems like so much of what they've done has been smart strategically. It's not really their fault, but that of all the drafts to have two first-round draft picks, this is regarded as a very poor draft in terms of talent. Kind of what are you hearing about that, even in terms of being able to trade draft picks?
Yeah, so you're 100% correct. It's been for years we've been hearing that this is one of the worst drafts in the NBA history, and people are still saying that. So I think trading out of this draft is going to be difficult, simply for that fact that you mentioned that these picks are not very valuable. And that really goes back. It's funny. It goes back to the Knicks last season.
Yeah, I got screwed.
Yeah, they had a great opportunity to have a great pick from the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks tanked those last few games of the season. They didn't ensure they kept the pick, but they gave themselves an 80% chance to keep the pick. They kept the pick, drafted Derek Lively, who then became this big piece to them making the NBA Finals. So they're still reaping the consequences of that. And then the reason why the Knicks have that pick is because they traded Kristaps Porzingis to the Dallas Mavericks, who then won a title with the Boston Celtics. So there's all these ties in there, and it's funny. But in the end, the Knicks didn't get the picks that they thought they were going to get because they're not quite valuable.
Yep. All right. Stephen Bondi from The Post, appreciate the time and the knowledge. A lot going on with the New York Knicks. They could look very similar to last year's team, or we'll see if there's some shakeups, and certainly there'll be some draft picks coming up in a few days. Appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thank you.